Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Welcome, New Life family and friends. We are so, so glad that you're with us today. We're glad to hang out with you, glad to talk with you. I get to have the incredible privilege of sharing space with just a couple of remarkable people that I get to learn from all the time. One of those is Dr. Alice Benton.
Hi, Chris.
How are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
You're doing good. Mm-hmm. Very good. And Dr. Jackie Mack Harris.
Hello. Good morning.
I always say, I just love the way your name rolls off my tongue. Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. Jackie Mack Harris. All right.
Been Jackie Mack for a very long time. We just Jackie Mack.
All right, Jackie Mack. Hey, what's on your mind? What have you been thinking about? What can we mull over to jump off this show with first?
Community. I've been thinking about community. I have someone that I work with that... Not only do I do couples therapy, but my team does family life coaching with them. Mm. And she had a conversation with me, and she started crying, and she said, thank you for helping me create a village.
Wow.
Because my family life coaches go into the home. And it just reminded me of how valuable that is. I have a sister who isn't my blood relative, but we met in college and have raised our children together and lived together off and on for all of their life. And we became each other's village. She didn't have an older sister. My younger sister lived in another state. And so we raised our children together. Our children are a family unit with one another, and they're expanding that village. And so as we're seeing that people aren't coming back to church and people are still staying a little isolated post-pandemic, I'm just concerned that we've gotten so independent and self-sufficient, we believe, that it's making us sick. We need one another. We were created for a relationship. And I just feel like people have to be encouraged to come back out again and to make those connections. I have it on my calendar to do a friend's dinner date night on third Fridays, just so we can be intentional about connecting with our community.
Yeah.
I wish community were optional. Honestly, because I am just an introvert. I prefer to be alone. I'm just not comfortable with people generally. Yeah. But I have bought into the idea, and I now do believe it, that it's not optional. If we want to live a full life, if we want optimal health, and even if we want to live out our spirituality, it is not optional. Community is necessary.
Yes.
And we suffer if we don't have it.
Well, the Human Project out of the Harvard University in its like sixth generation now, fifth generation, something like that. It's been going on for over 80 years. It shows what leads to longevity and satisfaction. And the number one factor was healthy, supportive relationship.
And a lot of people think that that's a husband or a wife, or that that's a child, but it can be a friend. It could be colleagues. We just need healthy relationships.
Well, and to take
different levels of them.
To take the underside of this, the dark side of this. A few years ago, I was asked by a local news outlet about these mass shootings. And this was after the Vegas one, and because we had a lot of people show up from Orange County in our office. And I said, you know, I can't speak. I just don't know what all is going on in a person's heart and mind that would lead them to such an atrocious act. But I can see one variable in every single incident. Isolation. God said there was one thing in all of creation that wasn't good.
A man to be alone.
It's not good for us to be alone. Now we can be off and do our silence and solitude, but that is to help us re-engage in healthy relationship. And that's what we're here for. And in fact, you know, I say this, what is damaged in the dark in the dark of isolation can only be healed in the light of community. So community is so important. Let us help you. We have many, many resources to connect you in that way. And we'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artimer with the New Life Moment. My mother grew up with a version of unhealthy faith. She believed that her faith vaccinated her and her family from evil. that temptations wouldn't likely come our way, and if they did, that we wouldn't succumb. When her father committed suicide, it seriously shook this false presumption. Yet somehow, Mom managed to maintain her belief that God owed her protection from tragedy. But when my brother contracted AIDS and eventually died, my mother was unavoidably confronted with the fact that her faith provided no supernatural vaccination against tragedy. Her faith was shaken to the core, and she slid into depression. Thankfully, my mom recovered. She recognized and accepted that God didn't owe her a life free from tragedy, hardship, and suffering. It takes real wisdom to discern biblical faith from its counterfeits. I'd like to help you in your endeavor. Please visit me, Steve Arterburn, at newlife.com. And thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
Again, another great, great pearl of wisdom from Steve. And I think we fall into these subtle trappings that, you know, making faith something that it's not, you know, that it freeing us completely from all sin and evil in the world, but forgetting the fact that it helps us in the midst of those things.
And if we build our faith off of one Bible verse or just a handful, but don't keep it in the context of all of God's word, we will be led astray.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
there's nothing in the Bible that would make me believe that being in relationship with Jesus would mean that everything would go well. It's so full of struggle,
yeah.
So full of hard stories.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do believe that it's the faith that you have that it's going to make you perfect, and that can leave people so confused and disoriented when just a regular tragedy, a death happens.
Yeah. Well, and I think that this is really important to our support, our love for each other, for community as mm-hmm. well. We look at the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and I can say that is now, those are not aspirational lives.
Right.
Those aren't living your best life now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is really struggling through and remaining faithful in the midst of some really, really tough and difficult circumstances. And to your point earlier, Jackie, is like this is also done with the reinforcement of community, of mm-hmm. the people around us. And so I call it the tribe.
Finding
your tribe is really, and building your tribe is really, really important. Again, this begs to mention our life recovery groups. This is a great way to build healthy tribe around recovery and exactly what we say, healing and hope in life's hardest places. Again, you can check out that. You can start one. Mm-hmm. We can give you the resources. Just go to our website, www.newlife.com, or give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we can get you connected. And speaking of calls, we're going to go to Lisa listening in the Big Apple, New York, New York. And Lisa, you there?
I am.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, no problem at all. Talk to us. What's going on?
Okay, so I'm like really broken and just devastated. My soulmate, I believe he was my soulmate. We were married for 15 years, and we have a 15-year-old child. We divorced 3 years ago, and I'm still really grieving over it. Mm. And he has a girlfriend now, and I believe he was my soulmate. And I, you know, kind of thought that I felt like God was putting it on my heart to move to Pittsburgh, and he and my son would have moved for me, and I just kind of forgot God told me that. I don't know. And so I got confused, and I didn't move, and I felt like God was put on my heart that it would be too late, you know, if I waited. And
so, Lisa, I have a very random question for you.
Yeah, sure.
What parent left at what age in your life?
No, my mom and dad were still married.
Okay, how long have they been married?
They were married for like, I think 45 years.
Oh, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
My assumption or my hunch was wrong. How would you describe their marriage?
He cheated on her most of their marriage.
Your dad cheated on your mom most of your marriage? Okay.
Yeah. That's how he left.
Okay, that's how he left. He was never in the marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So what impact did that have on your mom?
She never trusted him. She was always nagging him, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. So she had maybe a hardened and critical spirit, you know, that hurt,
yeah.
Probably that hurt and distrust showed up as criticism.
Oh, uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the impact on you?
On their relationship?
Yeah. The marriage. Yeah. Yeah. And your dad's cheating. What impact did your dad's cheating have on you?
I basically, disliked him for a long time, mm-hmm. was mad at him, but then I forgave him, you know, mm-hmm. and I led him to the Lord. So,
yeah.
So Lisa, you said you were married to your soulmate for 15 years and you've been divorced for 3 years. How happened right. you and your soulmate ended up in divorce?
He told me he didn't love me anymore. Mm-hmm. And, I was sick a lot and depressed and I couldn't do much around the house and complained a lot and was witchy and miserable. And, you know, he gave me another chance to change and I couldn't change because I was still, I ended up having like migraines every day for 5 months and that messed me up. And so it just, yeah, I guess he just couldn't take it anymore. And,
were you cranky and snappy and short, or were you just in isolation and unavailable?
I don't, neither really. I was just really witchy and
witchy.
Kind of, yeah, the B word.
Okay.
You know, I just was like not.
So not kind.
Yeah, and he, you know.
And what made him the soulmate for you?
I don't know. I just know he was it. Like, I just know. And so my question is, do you think, like, I missed it and I'm not going to have another soulmate? Or
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, no, you didn't miss it. There may be some work for you to do so that you can connect with yourself, your own core self, your right partner, your mate suitable for you, whether you call that a soulmate or something else, it is out there. But it seems to me like you were making yourself okay based on whether this person was okay, maybe a little codependency. And he got tired of carrying the load of being a person for both of you. And so it felt like this is my soulmate because what he feels, I feel. But that wasn't necessarily true because he was unhappy and you were content with him being there in that way and feeling like this was your soulmate. If you could step back and look at the 15 years, was there work that you needed to do and didn't do for yourself? You said you had depression. Were you in therapy? Did you do any groups?
Yeah. I was in therapy, and I took a lot of, you know, I was on every antidepressant, and none of them worked. And towards the end, I was on this antidepressant, and it made me really confused, and that messed me up. And I think it just messed up my life, you know? Just messed up my life.
So your question of did you miss the boat, my answer is just going to be no. God has whatever is for you is for you. And so as you continue to heal, when the time is right, God will send you what's right for you, but the focus on another person is probably not the primary concern right now. The focus is on finding you.
Right.
Lisa, my heart is real heavy for you, girl, because you've been living in a lot of physical pain for a couple decades, I think. And I'm going to say something that's going to sound harsh, but I'm saying it because I care about you. You got some low standards for a soulmate, my friend. Some very low standards. Now, I don't know the whole story. I just know what you've told us. But for a man to abandon you because you're struggling with your physical pain and depression, and he's off with another girl now, that does not sound like high soulmate quality to me. And so I wonder if you have really expanded some of the good attributes he truly does have, and if you're turning a blind eye to some of his coldness and the ways he was not a good soulmate and not a good husband to you. And you might also have a limited view of God, that God has this one straight line path for our lives, and if we deviate, that's it, you're done, no more chances, you lost your chance. That is not the way our God works, and thank you, God, that it's not. This beautiful promise that holds me up with all my failures and my stupid mistakes and sticking with the wrong thing for too long is that God uses even our mistakes for our good for those of us who believe in him. So it's not a one-shot life, and that's it. You lost your chance. That's not the way God works.
Yeah.
Right.
And Lisa, I'm going to let you in on a secret, okay?
Okay.
This is just between you and me. I found my soulmate.
Okay.
I got super lucky. I found my soulmate. Do you know what my soulmate was? My soul.
Who?
My soul. Because that mate goes with me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Right.
It goes and if I'm not well with my soulmate, nothing else in my life will go beyond that wellness.
Right.
And this speaks to Jackie's point. When we are in that position and we believe that there is a soulmate, a romantic partner out there that is going to fix our lives, it is a clear indication of an empty missing spot inside of us that remains unfulfilled, that other person is not going to fulfill. Your husband was actually set up. He was set up to fail before he began. But more importantly, you were set up to be disappointed before all of this.
And my guess is he did all the things that you maybe dreamt about, and that made him seem like your soulmate. Your dad, in his choices, abandoned you and your mom in a lot of ways. And oftentimes we grow up and we make up stories about what good would be, what my life would be like when I'm an adult. And I just wonder if you'd maybe built up a fantasy of what it was going to be like to be married. And he kind of filled that in the beginning. And then the story you were telling yourself is, this is my soulmate. This is my soulmate. Yeah. This is my soulmate.
And these are also indicatives of these things that we call love addiction. Mm-hmm. That my life will be fixed by someone else simply loving me, specifically in a romantic way, which is also a clear indication of growing up in a dysfunctional or chaotic home. Because what was not reflected back to you, especially by your dad, is what it means to be a faithful, loving human being, and what it means to deeply value another person.
And to see that person, not just themselves. I'm hearing the quote, you complete me. And so it's almost as though you felt like he completed you, and he can't because there's a part of you still haven't found.
It's like the worst relational line in movie lore, you know, you complete me. In the Bible, we see that the two become one. But how is that possible? Because 1 + 1 = 2, not one. Well, we got to change the mathematics. One whole times one whole equals one whole. It's multiplication.
Right.
It's not addition.
Yeah.
And so our encouragement, Elisa, is for you to get into your own work and start seeing a much greater wholeness within inside of you in healthier relationships, healthier community. And I'm going to send you a copy of Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Betrayal Trauma, because that's going to show you what happened to you as a kid and even, I think, what's happened to you as an adult. Lisa, thanks for calling in, and we'll be right back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Thanks for being with us today. And it's myself, Chris Williams, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, and Dr. Alice Benton.
AB.
Yep. All right. Now we're going to go to Nelson, listening in Arlington, Virginia, on YouTube. By the way, we are on YouTube. We're on apps. There's many, many different ways to listen to us, local radio, Sirius XM, all kinds.
And there's a great group of New Life listeners who gather together on the YouTube chat. So if you want to get active in the discussion, that's the place to be.
That makes me nervous. I'm not sure I want to read all the chat comments, but that's my own insecurity.
I'm looking forward to going and reading them now.
Yeah, right? But we really want to talk to Nelson. Nelson, how are you doing today, man?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well. Talk to me.
Well, thank you for taking my call. The question I have for you is, I would like to know if procrastination is related to drug addiction, and drug addiction is a consequence of a trauma that I received when I was a kid. I was sexually molested and abused, and I started drinking when I was 16, maybe, and using drugs when I was 17, 18. I've been doing drugs. I've been doing drugs for a long time.
Nelson, how old are you today?
I'm 50.
You're 50. Okay.
Yeah, my wife left because of my behavior, because of my drinking and driving.
Yes.
I wasn't drinking that much in front of her, but when I was by myself, I used to go to pick up my kids, and before pick them up, I was to buy a six pack and drinking.
For sure. Well, your alcohol use put you, yourself, and the people around you in danger, right?
Yeah. I'm also smoking pot, but everything behind my wife.
Well, Nelson, what's the question for us today?
I'm procrastinating. Is procrastination consequence of the drinking and drugging, was a consequence of the trauma that I received when I was a kid?
Yeah. So I'm going to start here, and then I want to hear from my wonderful colleagues. So there is this god in the Greek world called Pan God. Not a very nice one. It would oftentimes require child sacrifices, and would require all these crazy, weird kind of sexual things and animal sacrifices. It's where we get but a lot of pain and hurt would be involved in the worship of this god, this Pan God. It's where we get the word panic. It's also where we get the word pandemonium. A strange question or a strange incident in the Bible where Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The gates of Hades was the opening to the area in which they worshiped the Pan God. What Jesus is saying actually could also be interpreted, and on this, in my kingdom will stand up against all of the fear and panic that results from the horrific things that people do to each other.
And it's faith that was the rock.
So that's a long ways of going down this pathway to say that is your procrastination, it's indecision based on fear, carried through from horrific pain and shame that you're medicating through addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
So the question is, did the procrastination come because of addiction? And yet the procrastination can be a part of your addiction and your addictive behavior, but you may have been procrastinating before that. You may have been the kid who took a long time, waited to the last minute to do their homework.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also have a friend. I don't know if it's called. It's a consequence of the drugs, or drinking, or the abuse. I have a fragmented mind. I write papers. Like, I have to do, like, I need to call the doctor or for my kids, and I write it on a small paper, and then I put it aside, and I write a note for to call my brother and put it aside, mm-hmm. and then I cannot find all these notes that I have everywhere behind an envelope.
Nelson, I'm going to interrupt to ask, how far are you into sobriety?
Well, I want to be honest with you, Dr. Alice, because you're very special to me, you know, and I didn't want to call. I had this dream with you. You were talking to me in Spanish, because Spanish is my native language, and I told my brother, and he said, when you dream with a woman, it's your soul that's talking to you. And I don't know that, you know, I don't know where he got that.
Nelson, I'm going to go back to my question. I'm glad that I'm special to you. How far are you into sobriety, brother?
Yeah, I would say 3 days. I want to go to AA, but I don't want to.
Nelson, thank you for telling us that. That helps us help you better. And we're going to divert you from the procrastination question to what should I do? What should I do? We're going to come back after the break, and we're going to help you, Nelson.
Yes, Nelson, you're struggling with, unfortunately, a common story. Abuse that leads us to addiction, that leads us to all kinds of other consequences and painful consequences in your life. So, we're going to come back to you, as Alice said. Thank you so much for calling in, and we'll be back right after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We are talking with Nelson. Nelson has just let us in on the pain of his life, struggling with drug addiction, losing a marriage in the midst of that, showing up as procrastination, but even going back to some really, really painful childhood trauma. So, Alice, what does Nelson do from here?
Nelson, we're so proud of you that you have 3 days of sobriety and the courage to call us to check in about what do you do about this procrastination. You're on the right track. You're on the right track, but you know you need community, to go back to how we started the show, to keep you on the right track, because nobody has enough strength of will to stay sober on their own and in isolation, especially with what you went through as a child. And so you're going to need to get that tribe, that team around you, Nelson, and it's going to be hard because you're not attracted to the AA groups perhaps or to the system, and yet we know that it works. And so we want to get you connected. Stick with us. We're going to get you connected to people that can go with you on this journey. And I got to tell you, Nelson, the procrastination question, I have never seen a more motivated person than someone who's going after their drugs or going after their six-pack. Man, they're going to find a way. They're going to sell what they need to get it.
Yeah.
And so it's procrastination in a certain area that's the question, which is letting people in and telling your story, Nelson, so that you can get the healing you need, the right kind of comfort, so that drugs and alcohol are no longer your main source of comfort.
Yeah. There's really three necessary things here that you need, Nelson. And I'd love to say a different way, but there's not, at least that I'm aware of. And let me just say, in this area, I'm aware of a lot. So you need treatment. It's got to happen. So stay on the line. We're going to get you connected with one of our treatment centers. The other thing that you're going to need is sustainable recovery. And sustainable recovery is getting involved in a 12-step group. That could be a life recovery group. That could be what I'd recommend is AA, NA, something along those lines. And then the other key component is you're going to need to go to work on your trauma. because the pain in your life from your childhood is still creating a tremendous amount of fear, chaos, and most importantly or powerfully, shame. And so there is treatment for that. There is programs for this. I want to encourage you with that. We're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible as well as a Life Recovery Workbook. I want you to jump into that. Take it seriously. But take our recommendation seriously, because we want you and we want your heart and your mind and your soul to be on a good path towards sobriety, healing, and ultimately health. So,
lucha para tu sanación, porque Dios te quiere muchísimo, Nelson. Gracias por haber llamado.
Thank you so much for that, Alice. I will not say that I am completely jealous that you know Spanish fluently, but that is awesome.
A lot of flashcards went into that sentence.
I love that.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So thank you so much for that.
It's beautiful.
And we're going to go right back to the phones. We're going to go to Julie listening in Charlotte, North Carolina on Sirius XM. Julie, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
All right. What's going on today?
So I've been separated from my husband since June of last year. We've been married like 14 years. He's an alcoholic. We've been separated several times. And finally, I was just like hit the end of my rope and I was like, I'm done. Well, then he started doing active recovery, going to meetings, really wanting to change. And now since there's been some time passing, I'm going into life recovery groups, which I have been.
Awesome.
I'm just like second-guessing my decision. Am I doing the right thing by proceeding with the divorce? I mean, so I just wondered, that is the question.
Yeah, okay, that's a great question. And obviously there might be a few more bits of information we need in that. But I want to start here. When a person, and this is not everyone, but this is probably most of us, when we make a decision, for instance, to end something as significant as marriage, then our heart makes a transition. It kind of goes, I say it goes kind of cold and dark to that particular thing, because it almost necessarily has to do that. Warming up a cold heart is really hard. And waking up a dark heart is really hard. But it's not impossible. But what I would encourage you is to see is for you to be able to do the work to identify in yourself, whether it be your husband who you're separated from, or whether it be anyone else, what do I need in marriage? What do I need in a partner? And that can help you start to identify the things that will warm up and wake up the heart.
And you said that you guys are separated, but the question is, did you do the right thing in terms of divorce? Have you filed for divorce?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And like the other thing too is he's like emotionally unavailable. And that's like a big issue too for me. Because
Do you two have children, and how old are they?
We both had children, like, of our own, so.
No children together.
And they're grown.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
And, Julie, was he ever unfaithful to you, in addition to all the rest that he did?
No, he wasn't, but there was a little, not a little incident with a little too much closeness with someone.
More like an emotional affair?
Yeah.
Can I rephrase? Can I rephrase that? There was a big incident with way too much emotional closeness.
Don't minimize it.
Yeah. Well, it was physical closeness, and it was a big deal, and that's the first time we separated.
Okay.
It's interesting you tried to minimize it there. There was a little incident. Mm-hmm. Well, have you not addressed that?
So when we separated at that time, I did address it.
Okay.
But, you know, even like in the past year or so, he had said, well, it's not like I was unfaithful or anything.
Okay.
So
he minimized it.
So he minimized it, and you, yeah. It's part of why you are maybe considering continuing to move on with the divorce, you don't feel heard or seen by him. Even though he's doing mm-hmm. work now, do you feel a sense of emotional safety with him and an emotional connection and attunement with him?
No, not at all. Like, we're not communicating.
Can I just ask, what's in the way? Like, so you're now questioning, because he's sober or because he's working a recovery program, did you make the right decision?
And is he yes. is he asking and you to stop and to come back into the marriage?
He did. So he did when I said I want a divorce, and like a couple weeks went by, and then he came back and said, hey, let's go to counseling, let's do this. And I said, I've been asking you this for years, so no. You go do your own counseling. Mm-hmm. But I'm just worried that, is it biblical for me to move forward with divorce? Is it wrong? Like, I guess that's part of the question too.
So you probably know that the two biblical permissions for divorce, allowances for divorce, are infidelity and abandonment by an unbelieving spouse. And God also mm-hmm. wants repentance. And if there is a repentance on the side of the perpetrating spouse, that biblically he seems to want us to wait and see what pans out with that. But wait and see with caution and with distance, the necessary amount of distance to keep you safe. God hates divorce because divorce, even when it's necessary, brings about suffering. It just always causes mm-hmm. some level of suffering, even if it's necessary. And so he always wants us to consider divorce with so much caution because he wants to protect us from more suffering. And so as your husband enters into recovery, there probably should be a period of waiting to see how far he takes it, to know what kind of a man is he becoming. But unfortunately, we see that even months and months of progress in recovery, it doesn't guarantee that a person is going to stick with it. It doesn't guarantee character change. So waiting to see what happens can be a long wait.
And the couples therapy idea may be beneficial in that wherever you go, there you are. And who you are in relationship, intimate relationship with another person, can really be revealed in that couple's therapy with the husband. Because often the things that are challenging or work we need to do comes out in our marriage. And so he may be the person that brings those things out in you, and that therapist can work through those things. It's not always working towards reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the therapy is working towards a healthy separation.
Well, and therapy can be clarifying, mm-hmm. very clarifying as well. Julie, there's a few more thoughts I want to share with you, but we're going to go to a break here pretty soon. But as you've heard with Lisa, as you've heard with Julie, as you heard with too many women, too many wives, is that sexual betrayal is real and it's painful and it needs recovery. If you're wondering if this fits you, visit our Restore event page at newlife.com. You can download a copy to see if this is what you're experiencing, because Restored Workshop is for you. We're going to be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and we are talking with Julie in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Julie, it sounds like, as I was mentioning before, in your heart and in your mind, the decision's made. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, I made the decision.
Okay. And you're looking for confirmation, and this is okay. And to Alice's point, it is good to make sure that we vet this out mm-hmm. and we seek counsel and we see it from different angles. But and also to Alice's point on that, what I would want to infer to you is that it doesn't seem as if recovery has made him a better partner. Mm-hmm. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So what I would encourage you as you continue down this pathway is still do the work, as Jackie was saying. You know, maybe get into couples counseling, get clarification on what's going on here. And the clarification that I would want for you is to really identify, here is exactly what it means to be married to me. And it doesn't mean that we have these high impossible standards, but it does mean that we have some non-negotiable needs that have to be met. Emotional availability, for instance, would be one of those things. So I just want to encourage you down that road, Julie. And we're going to send you a copy of Steve's book, Take Your Life Back. And I think that that really helps clarify for yourself and in this process of what it means for you to be well connected with yourself, setting really good boundaries and moving forward with what you need in your life.
And I'd also give him a copy, your husband, a copy of Worthy of Her Trust.
Yeah.
Give him a couple days. Read it. Get back to me. Tell me if you're willing to live by what's in this book or not. That would be revealing.
That's really, really good. So, Julie, thank you so much for calling in today. We appreciate you. We appreciate your journey and your desire to do what is right by you and right by God. Right now, we're going to go to one of our calls previously with Steve and John and hear from the caller and hear from their wisdom.
Let's go over here to Mary. She's calling all the way from Henderson, Tennessee, WDNX. That's the station. Hi, Mary. Welcome to New Life.
Well, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on?
You guys are awesome. I have a question. First of all, let me give you just a little bit of my background.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised Amish, born Amish,
okay.
Raised Mennonite. And about 10 years ago, I left all of that and went to Assembly of God Church.
Okay.
And now that has broke all into pieces.
All right.
And so I've got a lot of questions going on.
Okay.
And my question is, how do we know that the Bible is inspired and everything in there is to be obeyed rather than it just being a history book?
Okay.
Mary, have you done any study on that question already?
Yes, I have.
And what have you done?
I have just, I look at the big picture of everything in this world and I see all this religion that divides and hurts people. And I have pretty much come to the conclusion that that man compiled the Bible together like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they also were human. And it was done after Jesus' time. It was not, you know. And I think it's more
actually, that's
or less,
not true. The Bible was written, both before and after Jesus' time. But let's keep going.
And I just see that if we're going to take it as every word in there, if God had a way for us to live and he made us, he knows how we are. He knows no two people read something and see it the same way. Would he not have just made a list of rules and black and white and say, do this, so we don't have all this confusion and hurting and fighting and everything going on?
Well, he did that, though. You know, he made that list.
But where is it?
Well, it's that he did that list, the Ten Commandments there, see?
Right.
And it just didn't work out that way. Seemed like there was more fighting. Because
yes.
Because that list kind of revealed human nature and character.
Well, the religious people fight more than the ones that don't have religion. And people that don't have religion seem to be nicer than the ones that have it. So obviously,
that's interesting, isn't it? How once you decide that you're going to stand for something, seems like you kind of come under greater attack and end up in greater conflict. If you're not aspiring or moving towards something, you don't really have conflict inside. You know what I mean? You just go and
right.
Do it. You just do it.
But isn't God just all about love? Is it not just, isn't that what he sent Jesus for? And
well,
about all the doctrines,
yes,
and everything, and just love each other?
But see, here's the thing. I think you kind of fall in this thing about not wanting all the uncomfortable stuff in the Bible, but just the love stuff. And you could just end up with a little love leaflet.
Well, love is what makes the world go around. It's what Jesus was all about. Isn't that all he ever taught? Didn't he say that if you love God and love your neighbor, that's all you need to know?
Well, he didn't say all. He said that's a real priority there. And it'd be great if that's all there was to it. But Jesus said a lot of other things, too. Things like deny yourself, take up your cross. Ooh, you know, some really,
right,
really.
But who's going to decide what he meant by that?
Well, there are a lot of things like that, that seem to be fairly clear no matter what dialect or language or interpretation that you use. Now, there are things that are not so clear, But that's where we have to use the mind that he gave us to study it, to come up with the best interpretation, especially in light of all the other truth that's in Scripture. John, yeah. Go ahead.
Mary, by the way, I'm so glad you're asking these questions, because so many people either haven't or need to study it, struggle with them, and I always appreciate that. Are you open to other realities besides your own conclusions at this point or not?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a couple of books I want you to look at. One is called The Apologetics Study Bible, APOLOGETICS. Some of the smartest guys in the Christian world, friends of ours, wrote it.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about why we believe the Bible is true faith-wise, archaeology-wise, history-wise, philosophically-wise. Uh-huh. The Apologetic Study Bible is really good. And also The Case for Christ, which is by Lee Strobel, which is a wonderful uh-huh. book on our faith.
There's a case for Christ. There's a case for the Creator. There's another one that's got it in there. There are several books that can
read. And your book, Being Christian, is really good too, Steve.
Well, thanks for just mentioning that off the top of your head after I held up that piece of paper.
So, Mary, here's the thing is, I always tell people, I understand that question. So do two things. Go to God and say, God, I need to know reality. I just want to make this up. And if this is true, God, you tell me. And if it's not, you tell me. And then you study what some really smart people say about the Bible. I did that many years ago. And I came down to, I believe the Bible is true. But I had to do that sort of, I'm open to reality prayer. So I want you to do that.
You know, a lot of the confusion would not be there if we were not speaking English. And we either spoke Hebrew or Greek or
Aramaic.
Aramaic or both, or all three. See, then we wouldn't have... when it was translated into the Latin, it became more confusing than the original scripture.
Right.
But I tell you, I'm going to send you, because we can send that to you. Being Christian, I think there's some great stuff in here that's going to clear that issue up specifically.
What wisdom, again, all of these resources. And what a great question, you know, and I just find so many times that my desire in life is to end the dilemma that we experience as human beings. What I find in the wisdom of God is the ability to enter into the dilemma with higher truths and higher realities and better meanings. And so if there's ways in which we can help you, we have a storehouse of resources. You can go to newlife.com or give us a call. We'd love to help you out. Thank you for being with us, Dr. Jackie Mack, Dr. Alice Benton. Thank you for your friendship and your wisdom and all that you have to offer. Thank you for being with us. Have a blessed day.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.